Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And then our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to chapter 10, verse 8. And that's on Pew Bible page 785. Let us hear God's word again. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without payment, give without payment. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you that it lights our path and guides our hearts. Open our hearts and minds today to the leading of your Spirit. May it guide us and keep us and show us the way in our lives and in the lives of others. We ask, Lord, that you would take us and move us to the place you wish us to be, the place where we are best to serve you. Gracious God, hear these our prayers. Be with us and open your word to our minds and hearts today. Amen. Brothers and sisters, on this Father's Day, our scripture starts out with a problem, a conundrum, if you will. Jesus has gone throughout the area, preaching and teaching and teaching and preaching, healing, casting out demons. He is very, very busy. And the problem is that as he moves throughout the region, he sees all that there is to see, both the joy in these regions, but also the pain, the suffering, the simple lostness of these people. And he has pity on them. I mean, of all people, you would expect to have pity on these crowds. I would say Jesus is probably the number one, right? And as he's going around, we see the real beauty of Christ is that he doesn't have to. get himself there in order to feel sadness at what he sees. He's there. And it's all around him. People aren't coming to Jesus on their best days. I mean, it's like when you go to the podiatrist, you don't go because your feet are good. You're not going to see Jesus because everything's right in the world. You are going great. You're not going to go to see him when things are good. So he sees all this pain. Now, the beauty of Jesus is really apparent here, because he doesn't need a Sarah McLachlan song and pictures of the people scrolling across the screen of their extreme suffering to touch his heart. It's Jesus. Of course, his heart is tugged at by seeing these people. He doesn't need a consulting firm to tell him that he needs to deal with this. He doesn't need them to do anything special to move him to compassion. But lost in this is the fact that he is going from town to town to town. His heartstrings, his heart, being open to so many places and so many people, is getting pulled and hurt again and again and again and again. Once more, we need to remember this is the beauty of Christ, that he willingly opens himself to the pain and hurt that is there. It speaks both to his love, his deep abiding love, but also to his strength. It is hard. It is hard to hold another person's pain and sadness. It is harder than humans are really capable to do it as often as Christ did. That's why he's Jesus. Think about it. When we open ourselves to one another's pain, we hit a saturation point. We saw it during the pandemic. We see it with people we're dealing with grief. We hit a point where when somebody opens up about their pain and what they're feeling, we kind of hit that moment where we're like, okay, we're good. And we don't necessarily move on, but our willingness to hear their pain gets lesser and lesser. We talk about grief being a finite period of time where, all right, so you lost this loved one on this date. Great. You have this many days to get over it. That's what we do as a society. After the funeral, after the burial, for the most part, we want people to move on. When things like that happen, we want people to move on. We don't want to hold their pain. It's one of the sad things that we do as people. And it doesn't help that all across the board there are hot takes, there are media firms that look at how best to manipulate what is within us. Ad campaigns. We're trying to sell you a product. So what are we going to do? We are going to literally look at ways to tug on your heart. I mentioned Sarah McLachlan. You see the animals in those SPCA commercials, and it is awful. Throw in that sad music, and you are a just crying mess. There's a reason why those get run, because they help raise money. And what do? When we see those commercials? Well, if we're watching online, we hit skip. We turn down the volume or we ignore them because we don't like our hearts to be pulled at and tugged on all the time. We can be overwhelmed by compassion. When we see pain and suffering at both an extended scale and scope, we hit that moment where we need to take care of ourselves or want to break ourselves. But Christ does it again and again and again. He is willing to hold our pain. He's willing to go throughout all these areas, holding everyone's pain. When we imagine Jesus, maybe we imagine him as this kind of Superman Jesus. But I tell you what, I always picture him with these really strong shoulders because of the burdens we always put on him. Now, he could be this little tiny slight guy with big shoulders too. But the reality is he is going here and there and everywhere, listening, opening his arms to these people. These people, as he calls them, are harassed and helpless, like sheep looking for a shepherd, wandering about aimlessly, wanting the care, the love, the protection, the oversight of a shepherd. Now, I realize protection, care, and oversight are somewhat clinical words, but they get to the point. Relationship of what the sheep need and what these people need. They need, most of all, compassion. But he's not just moved, that is, Christ is not just moved by compassion. He's moved to action. He doesn't just see the needs around him and the need to hold these people's pain. He sees the needs for action, for something. It's one thing to be spurred to compassion by something. But then you must ask the question, what do you do then? What do you do after your heart is tugged? Do you bake somebody a casserole? You simply sit and ask, how are you doing, and listen to them. How are you moved when you engage in an act of compassion? Jesus sees the need. And so what does he do? He gathers the disciples in, the apostles, and yes, even Judas he gathers in. Now, this isn't the later sending when he sends them out at Pentecost. This is an earlier sending. Maybe it's as we look at the graduates, maybe it's that test drive, that internship for the disciples. Guys, I'm going to send you out and I'm going to equip you, but it's only for a period of time, then we'll come back into the safe atmosphere. I'll ask how it went. You'll tell me how it... You know, there's this almost learning experience for the disciples here. And as Jesus gathers them in, he gives them very clear instructions and very clear power to go and do and be. Tells them to go forth to a particular group, to a particular region, and he sends them. This is really the first time he does this. The first time he sends them. It's a growth and development piece. It's as if, like when the kids start moving and learning, and they have to start somewhere. They have to start somewhere. And here it is. It seems this monumental task. Go, go, heal. Cast out demons. You can't just give us something simple, Jesus. Something nice and easy. Instead, he sends them out to the sheep that are lost and hurting. Before you start wondering if there was a better way for this to happen, just understand that it had to start somewhere. Jesus had to send them at some point in preparation for the greater sending. And he starts them out small, small in scope. We could wonder why he doesn't send them to the Gentiles, why he doesn't send them to the Samaritans. And the reality is very, very easy and logical. First, you got to start somewhere. You got to start with some group. If he started out too wide, what would the conversation be? Jesus, why on earth did you go to the Samaritans? Why on earth did you go to the Gentiles? And Jesus loses all that time and momentum having to explain his decision. Instead, he starts immediately with the people of Israel. He sends his disciples to that immediate group. It's not the first time God focuses in on first an immediate group, a small group. Think of Abraham, where God starts with Abraham, and then the group kind of gets a little bit bigger. It starts with a smaller group. And can you imagine the disciples going forth into this wider reach, wider area? And I realize some of us are like, well, you know, you kind of can jump out into the deep end of the pool first. You can. But let's go back to the whole compassion part of Jesus and how maybe less than compassionate that might have been to the disciples. But as it unfolds, as it happens, Jesus sends them first to the people of Israel and then later to the greater world, the greater commissioning. So it starts somewhere. And then before they go, it's not like he just sends them out with nothing. He equips them for this ministry, equips them for this time to come. Now, every time there's a sending in Scripture, there's also an equipping. Think of the burning bush. I love this story. Moses is standing there, and God is sending him, and he has this litany of reasons why it can't be him. And every time, God equips him. Every excuse he has, God equips him to move past that. God, I'm a terrible public speaker. What does God say? It's okay. Your brother Aaron, remember him? He'll help you. He's a pretty good speaker. And if he's not a good speaker, I'll help him become a good speaker. Every step along the way, when God puts that commission before us, every time God sends us, God equips us. Maybe, maybe not in the way we want it to be, but then again, if it's uncomfortable as the moments with the Holy Spirit generally are, would we ever really be okay with the way God commissioned us and the way God equipped us fully? Probably not. So God sends them to go out into this region, and he sends them fully prepared as God feels they're fully prepared. I mean, you can imagine one or two of the disciples saying, yeah, can we, and coming up with a number of reasons, and Jesus saying, you got enough. You're good. You got enough. Kind of like when kids want a little something extra at the dinner table, you've had enough. Now, there is a bit of darkness in this commissioning, because Christ describes it as sending them as sheep among wolves. Not necessarily the greatest selling point, but it's a moment where it's beautiful and powerful as well. While it might be a fearful moment to go out into the world in this way, It's beautiful because sheep can face wolves with their shepherd with them. Sheep can go out into the world among the wolves if their shepherd is forever with them. So is it dark looking at that wolves and sheep piece? Yeah. Natural selection and all of that? Yeah. Except for the fact that the shepherd is with them. As I sat writing this week, not only did graduation announcements keep coming in, but in the back I heard preparations and the ceremony for the nursery school getting all set to go. All these young people getting ready to go out to the next step in their lives. And I really noticed that there's a commissioning in this. Every time we send young people on to the next step, college, high school, whatever, there's a sending that happens. Sometimes the sending is boring as all get out, like at my college graduation, where you wish you had brought a book in your sock or something like that. But other times they grab you. They grab you and tell you all the ways that life is unfolding before you. Those speeches are not dissimilar to what Christ is doing to the disciples. For them, it's graduation day. It's no longer their day where they get to follow along. Now they take on a burden themselves. Now they get to go and do something. Now they get to go embrace what God has for them. Yes, it's this safer environment, yes. But even in a safer environment where it's this limited scope, this almost lab atmosphere, so to speak, they're still going and doing and being. They are still going among the people to heal, cast out demons, to do what Christ has been doing, to take on the pain of so many people. Brothers and sisters, we too have been sent out into this world. We have been called to serve and bring the good news of Christ's world. There are particular and general callings in our lives. The particular being, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The particular is how individually, and yes, even congregationally, God is using us in our community. Challenge for us as we look forward, as we embrace this call, this commissioning, is not necessarily living without the fears and anxieties that come with God leading us somewhere that we aren't necessarily wanting to go, ready to go, comfortable with going. Those pieces come with the discomfort of God's Spirit. But being able to follow in spite of those, that is the steps that involve faith. Those are the steps that allow us to be God's people in this world. Whether we are fearful, whether we are anxious, whether we are discouraged, whatever our challenges are, they are there and we minister in spite of them. I mean, most of us have been through some form of graduation in our lives. Did you feel fully comfortable when you sat there, ready to go on to whatever the next step was? Were you fully ready and prepared, ready to get going and take on the world? Maybe. But I would venture that most of us were a little nervous and a little worried, a little needing in that comfort of our shepherd. And so, brothers and sisters, let us go forth. Let us go forth and follow and be where God has called us to be, serving his people and leading them to him. Children of God, let us follow our commissioning.